you're seeing some happy fans exiting MetLife Stadium outside of where we are, MetLife Central, the stage here. And it wasn't a Rembrandt by no means, but the bottom line is a victory is a victory. Giants improved their record to 5-2. How you doing, everybody? Welcome to Giants Post Game Live, presented by Timex. Once again, I'm Russ Salzberg, along with my colleagues Roman Omen, Howard Cross, and Amani Toomer. And as I said, fellas, it was not a Rembrandt, and I'm sure the coach, there's a lot of things he's not happy about, but the most important is the bottom line. They came away with a victory against a division opponent.
Yeah, well, the saying is it doesn't have to be pretty. I mean, you look at the stats defensively. They were going to run up and down the field. This had the billing of a heavyweight championship fight. You don't want to go 0-3 in your division, so this is a game the Giants had to win. And quite simply, guys, in the fourth quarter, someone had to make a play. And it was the turnover at the end that sealed the deal. But I credit the defense, especially sticking in at the end, and obviously the big play by Big Cruz that led to the win.
You know, a big plays all day, but I tell you what, the Giants got to go back and look at this film. They got to think about definitely that running game and that run defense. They got to figure out a way not just to play man or two gap. They got to get themselves in gaps and start getting some penetration. The Redskins' run game was so effective. Usually when you do play action, you freeze their linebackers. They froze the defensive line sometimes, and the Giants are going to have to go back and look at that.
This is classic Eli Manning. I mean, the guy plays an average game for the first half of the first half, then throws a couple costly interceptions even in the fourth quarter.
Right.
Then when all the money's on the table, when all your chips are in the center of the table, he throws an absolute dime to Victor Cruz. This is how it is. But I don't think the Giants should try and rely on this too much. They allowed the Redskins to get back in this game. They had the game under control for so long during this game. It was almost a game that they tried to give away to the Redskins.
And going back to Howard's point, I mean, you got to understand the animal we're dealing with. Obviously, you were on the sidelines. You got to hold up your block, see what RG3 is doing, and then play. So they were reacting a lot. And I think a lot of that became because of who they were playing against today.
There was also some very, very bad penalties. You can't, yeah, with fourth and inches at the 35, you can't be going off sides.
Right.
And also on defense, after the Giants were saved on what was a 35-yard touchdown that was called back, the next play from scrimmage, they get a big gain at the Skins do, plus 15 yards at Boley, personal foul. You got to play smarter than that.
Well, you do have to play smarter than that. There were some untimely penalties, but you got to remember, the Redskins are a team that you're going to see them again. And when you see them again, it's going to be more of the same. They're going to run the ball great. They do a great job of it. RG3 understands what his role is in the offense. He's not there to throw the ball all down the field, and you saw that. When they needed him to throw the ball down the field and it came up big, that wasn't part of his game. They've kept him under wraps so much that it's perfect for him, and it works out for him. But right now, they ask him to throw it deep over and over again because we needed him to. It's just not going to happen.
Amani, let me ask you this. RG3, I don't know about you, but to me, he certainly does not look like a rookie.
He doesn't look like a rookie at all, and I'm even more impressed seeing him in person,
yes,
than I was before. There was one play where he fumbled the ball, picked it back up, and started running around the edge. He looked like he was going in full speed while he was just jogging when everybody else was in fast motion. Their head was bobbing because you could tell they were trying real hard. Smooth sailor. This guy is going to be somebody in this NFC East division that the Giants are going to have to deal with for a long time.
Well, the NFC is tough enough as it is. When RG3 got drafted, I mean, look at Shanahan's offense. Everyone knows how successful he's been in Denver. I mean, this is a system that works. When you get a guy like RG3, who's as good of an athlete as he is to execute this offense, it was good for me to see the defense in the second half really start to get after him. So I think at the end of the season, when they play the Redskins again, you're going to see a little bit more of the same, but it will be more evenly balanced. I think Perry Fuel will be ready the next time they play. They'll play more like they did in the second half. The first time,
they
first
make great
half
adjustments.
When they play
right.
Well,
they make great adjustments.
Well, I'll tell you what, that was the 159th meeting between these two teams, the most in NFL history. And you know what? With RG3 in the house, the rivalry is going to be continuing
for
many years to come. All right, we got some business to take care of before we get back to the coach and Eli and a whole bunch of other stuff. Ticketmaster, folks, buy and sell Giants tickets at NFL.com/ticket exchange. Don't wait. Buyers get in and sellers get paid. You are watching Giants Post Game Live presented by Timex. We're live from the stage outside of MetLife Stadium. You see the crowd, and it's a happy one indeed because your final score was New York Giants 27, Washington Redskins 23. Giants improved to 5-2, alone in first place in the NFC East. All right, folks. first guest of postgame the show here receive a gift certificate to the terrific Ben & Jack Steakhouse with not one but two terrific locations, conveniently in Manhattan on East 44th Street and the other one at 28th and 5th Avenue. We're talking about the celebrated porterhouse to the finest seafood anywhere. Ben & Jack's, believe me, will surpass your expectations of a terrific steakhouse. And I'm sure a lot of these fans would like to be going because they worked up an appetite. They'd like to be going to Ben & Jack's as well because it is a healthy appetite indeed with a 27-23 victory. The New York Giants are alone in the NFC East in first place again at 5-2. And now what do you say we go from the fans right downstairs where Paul Dottino caught up with J-Ron Hosley coming off the field.
Well, J-Ron, I got to admit, the range of emotions for you after giving up the touchdown pass that had them go ahead and then you recover the fumble to clinch it.
Hey, man, you just got to forget about the next play and move on. You know what I'm saying? As a defender, you want to have a one-track mind. So, you know, I let that go and came back and make a play.
How difficult was it to defend RG3 after watching him on film?
Hey, man, he's a good guy, man. He did a hell of a job tonight. You know, we just had to come out and play discipline, you know, hard, you know, aggressive ball, and that's what we did today.
Darren Hosley, thank you.
You're welcome.
Back to you guys.
All right, Paul, thank you very much. Well, again, 27-23 the final, and we are live at the MetLife Central stage here outside of MetLife Stadium. Got a nice crowd on hand, and a happy crowd it is. But I'll tell you, this one was not easy. And I know, you guys know Coach Coughlin. This is one where he goes, yeah, we won, but we got a lot of work to do, and it's easy to point about the things because, again, defense showed up big in the fourth quarter, but you talk about run defense. I mean, there was no penetration early on.
Well, it wasn't any penetration early on. They were taking the two gaps. They were trying to, you know, take the guy on and read and react. Morris, a six-round draft pick out of South Florida. This kid's running the ball all over the field. Every time he hits it, it looks like the old Denver Broncos where anybody could do it.
Excuse me for breaking in. We want to hear what the coach has to say about his team's performance right now.
I told Mike that's a tough concept. You know, you're defending the National Football League plus the triple option, and it's a difficult scheme. And the second half, we did such a much, much better job. We got the turnovers. Of course, we turned a couple of over too, just to keep it interesting. But the looking at the back of 80's heels there at the end, holy cow, what a great feeling that was at that point in time. But, you know, they're a tough football team. They've given up some numbers this year, as I said earlier in the week, but I'm telling you, they hang in there. They battle with you. They got a little bit different scheme coverage-wise and force you to really dig down in and make some plays from the underneath and then get up on top if you can. But they're tough against the run. We didn't have much success against the run. But, you know, we found a way to win. We found a way to win, and thank God for that. Well, you know, I was – does he ever cease to amaze me? No, I guess. There were – the one play right after the turnover we got that was an interception thrown by us was – that one was a lump in my throat, and then he came right back and made the play at the end with Victor. So it was a – you know, just – he keeps hanging in there and banging away, and when his back's up against the wall, that's when he kind of does his best work. Well, it was there was an option involved there, and he took it. The best way I can tell you. It says they, you know, they work well together, and they know what each other's going to do. And it didn't take much for Eli to realize what Victor was going to do when he ran through. And that was a good thing.
Tom, can you imagine
however many years RG3 is going to be on the field, what's going to be like? Game playing? We only
got to play him one more time this year. Thank you. Coach, when you see RG3 on tape and then see him in person, does the speed translate?
Yes, it does. It does. He looks like the fastest guy on tape, and he's certainly the fastest guy on the field. When he pulls the ball down, when you break down contain, and he goes outside, I mean, it's – you're just praying somebody's going to run him out of bounds.
Tom, you said lump in your throat with Eli. What about the fourth and 10 that
Yeah.
What you saw, what you felt,
Hey, he escaped. He ran around back there. I was shocked there wasn't a lineman downfield. He ran around back there, which seemed like forever, and he hit the tight end in the middle of the field while we had guys chasing him. JPP was right there in the beginning, but couldn't corral him. So, you know, I think when that happens, instead of lamenting and looking back, you better look ahead. I think he came out okay.
It seemed like Bradshaw was a little heated at points in time and maybe even heated in an exchange with you. What was going on with him?
That's between he and I.
Disappointed in the running game, especially after the last couple of games?
Well, we knew it was going to be tough, and we knew there was going to be some openings in the pass game. And, you know, I wish we had better balance. We didn't. We had some things that came through pretty well, pretty clean. But we had other things that we rely on that didn't go anywhere. So you got to give credit to them, and we'll look at it. We knew we had to sustain and get movement. You're not going to just come off the ball. These people need to be moved. The interior three are big, strong guys, and they fit very well the way in which they tie in their gap responsibilities. They play a lot of inside arm free, which forces you to do some things. But, yeah, I'm disappointed. I'm always disappointed. But we won the game. You know, that the important thing for everybody to realize is that the object is to win. Somehow, some way, find a way to win. Now, I'm not happy with the turnovers. You know, we've done such a great job running it and not turning it over, and we, quite frankly, kept the game alive by our turnovers.
Well, there's the head coach, and it's kind of like what I thought we'd get. We'd get a guy who was relieved that they won the game or things he wasn't happy about, but listen, Imani, you've played in these division games. Why are they so different, especially in the NFC East, than it seems like anything else?
Well, you got to know, when these two teams get ready for each other, they prepare in the draft room through the offseason, through free agency, to try and compete against each other. And one of the things about today's game that I thought the Giants took a step back in terms of their rush defense. They allowed almost 250 yards on the ground. Usually you don't win with 200, you letting up that many yards. This is something that the Giants have to work on for next week when they play against the Cowboys with their offensive line, the way that they are starting to run, get off of the ball. This is something they really need to take a hard look. Not playing RG3, but still, they got to be able to stop the running backs running the ball up the field.
I want to go back to Jaron Hosey's comment when he talked about giving up that play deep for a touchdown, just about having amnesia. And I think whether you get beat for a sack, if you're an offensive tackle, or you drop a touchdown. I mean, Eli Manning threw behind Victor Cruz for an open touchdown. Yeah. There were a lot of amnesia moments today on the Giants for both sides, but they pulled it together as a team and found a way to do it at the end. And that's one thing I was really proud of. It's not always how well you do, but it's how well you respond off of adversity. You know, the two turnovers in the fourth quarter didn't help, but in the turnover battle, the Giants still won, and I think that's what was most important for me.
I tell you what was different for me. I was kind of shocked to see how the Giants didn't actually rush the ball. I was thinking they were going to go after him again and again. You know, they went for 200 against Cleveland. They go for 100 and plus against the Niners, which has this incredible run defense. And like Washington, they're not the same kind of guys. They'll be able to run the ball against them. They abandon the run kind of early, and they start throwing the ball. And when you put it in the air, you know, some good things happen, but a couple bad things happen as well. And you saw some of that today.
And a lot of work that needs to be done. But again, a lot better going into Dallas with a record of 5-2 alone in first place in the NFC East. All right. This segment brought to you by Adorama, folks, the official electronics dealer of the Giants. Text Adorama to 888-769 for a free gift. I'm Russ Salzberg, along with my colleagues Roman Oben, Imani Toomer, Howard Cross. You're watching Giants Post Game Live, presented by Timex, here at MetLife Stadium. We are live from the stage at MetLife Central. Stay with us. We got Eli, player reaction, a lot more coming up. And you're looking at a nice crowd shot here just outside where we're located, live from the stage at MetLife Central. Again, folks, welcome to our Giants Post Game Live Show, presented by Timex right here on My9. Once again, your final, Giants with a thrilling victory, 27-23 over the division rival Washington Redskins. Now, what do you say we go right downstairs where Paul Dottino caught up with both Ahmad Bradshaw and Big Chris Canty coming off the field?
Well, Ahmad ran for a touchdown today. It was tough going, though, getting some rushing yardage against these guys, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. They had a great scheme. You know, that 3-4 is tough to run on. They got a lot of great players. Lennon Fletcher leading them. And, you know, we just kept pushing, man. We kept pushing. And we fought to the end, man. That's the key.
And then ultimately, they're trying to pack it in against the run, and Cruz beats them on the long pass down the stretch. I guess you got to feel part of that, too.
Well, Cruz is a great receiver. He just beat the coverage, man. I don't think they're coming up for the run. It's 2 minutes. They knew what we were doing. You know, Cruz is a great, great player. Eli made a great throw, and, you know, we won this game.
And then finally, Ahmad, to win a game in the NFC East. You're now 1-2 in the division. That was big.
Yeah, it was big for us. We needed that, man. We knew it from the start. We knew we had to come out. We had a fight on our hands, and, you know, we finished it.
Congratulations, Ahmad.
Thank you.
Well, you waited a long, hard time to get on the field. I guess it was worth it, Chris.
It's definitely worth it to come out here versus a division opponent, get our first division win. It's a great feeling. I'm just happy right now. We got the job done. We got a lot of work to do. But we're excited about this win, and we're going to enjoy it. And get up early in the morning and get ready for Dallas next morning.
And you emptied your gas tank trying to chase RG3, didn't you?
Yeah, just a little bit. I mean, I just wanted to get out there a little bit more. You know, the coaches had me on a pitch count. I felt like I could give a little more, but they wanted to make sure I got my feet under me for my first game. I felt pretty good. So looking forward to the next one.
Chris Candy, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, back to you guys.
All right, Paul Dottino with both Chris Candy and Ahmad Bradshaw. Once again, 27-23, Giants the final. I think you can sense from everybody, Giants know they were in a battle. Bottom line is the relief to get the victory. Talk about, though, Victor Cruz, in a short time he's been here as a Giant, it seems like he's been making big plays for a 10-year career.
He's trying to break all my records.
I guess so.
He's going to wipe me out of the playbook. But for the Giants to get a win when they're not playing well, Eli was a little high. He was throwing the ball off a couple times.
Floating a little bit today.
A little floating. Yeah, he wasn't following through with his motion. But for them to come away with a victory, especially their first victory in the NFC East, a huge win. These are the types of wins that at the end of the season, when you're counting up the schedule, trying to see how you match up against the other teams going into the playoffs, this is going to be a big win.
I think, you know, you think about Victor Cruz, you see a guy that when they watched him in college, he wasn't that guy. That wasn't him. He gets a couple plays in a preseason game against the Jets, and all of a sudden they're like, well, let's see if he can do that again. You sit down for a few minutes. We're going to check on you next year. All of a sudden he shows up, and when he runs the routes, the defense freezes every time he makes a move. I mean, seriously, they stop Cole to see where he's going to go, and it's the most amazing thing to me. I'm like, is he that fast? Is he that great? Maybe they're trying to learn the salsa or something. They stop instantly every time he does.
You have every high school player doing the salsa trying to get ready for games.
Well, one thing I've always liked about Victor Cruz is he's almost the perfect size, about 6 feet tall, you know, 185, however much he weighs, but he's such an excellent route runner, and he always finds a way to get open. I mean, always double coverage, always help over the top. He works his way to get open, and he's as hard of a working a wide receiver as he is just a good natural pass catcher. And I think coming from a Division II system, it's like he's always playing with a chip on his shoulders. And that's the kind of effort he definitely had today. I mean, that 77-yarder, I mean, opened up the entire game. So like you said, no matter what happened the first three quarters, fourth quarter, somebody stepped up. It was Eli to Cruz that won the game.
And how about Eli late in the game? I mean, we're all sitting here talking about overtime, and he's going for the home run to win the game, and that trip, you know, with a minute and change left on the clock.
Yeah, he's not afraid for the moment. You know, there's some quarterbacks that kind of shy away for the moment. Eli establishes them and throws to them. Let's throw to him right now.
Speaking of Eli, let's go right down to the podium and hear from the Giants quarterback.
Yeah, you know, it was just kind of a day where we had some big plays. We did some really good things, and then, you know, a little off on a few. And, you know, I hate turning the ball over in the fourth quarter on an interception, then missing Akeem on the right sideline with a chance to, you know, get a first down and run, a bunch of clock off, if not all the clock, and giving the ball back to Washington. So, you know, that's something, I got to fix, and I got to get better and make sure, you know, I'm not putting us in a bad situation and make the plays when they're there. But, you know, something we've been really good at over the years is a two-minute drive when the game is on the line and making plays when we need to make plays. And, you know, great route by Victor, great decision, and, you know, had good protection and was able to put it up there, and he ran under it and go get the touchdown. That was obviously a huge play. And then our defense, you know, great job getting turnovers all day and you know, some key stops. So it was a big win today. I thought I had some really good throws and felt good, felt like I was seeing things, and you know they were a good defense, and they had some different coverages where you have to hold the ball a little bit. They were getting pretty good pressure, at times. So didn't have all day to sit back there. So, but I thought made some good throws, missed a few that I gotta get back. So he's gotta continue working with our receivers and get back on the same page. I don't know if I saw him turn the wrong way. I saw what the coverage was. They were playing it a pretty good, mixing it in the previous 2 minute drive before halftime. They were playing man with the safety real tight, kind of doubling Victor on the outside, trying to take away any outside breaking routes. And we had a route where he had a seam route, and so he just ran right through kind of that double team if they were doubling him, and. Made a great decision and great play in the ball to catch it, and then also, important not to get tackled and go score the touchdown to give us the lead. I think it's just great credit to all our receivers, the way they when we get in those circumstances, they're prepared for what the defense is, what defenses are going to come, what their reactions are going to be, how their routes going to change based off the defense and making those adjustments. So we practice the two minute drill a lot during every week on Thursdays against our defense, and it's competitive. And I think Victor does a great job of. On some of his routes, making great decisions, being decisive, and giving us opportunities to make some big plays. Yeah, I mean, I had to throw it probably a little bit before I wanted to. I kind of threw it, very early and just threw it high and deep. Based off, saw the coverage and was hoping Victor was going to see it the same way I was. I didn't see the ball get caught, and I just kind of heard the cheer. I said that's probably a good sign, and saw him got up in time and saw him running in the end zone. So it's a good feeling. Well, you think, hey, we got to get a field goal. Obviously, that's the most important thing. So you when you're backed up like that, you want to try to get. You want to get some yards. You want to just get in a good rhythm, move the ball. You got three timeouts, so you can throw the ball underneath and don't have to force the ball down the field. But as you get closer to the other side, if we got that opportunity, then you start understanding that you don't have to force things on third down. If you're getting field goal range, so understand your mindset does change a little bit based on time and distance. But you always want to try to get a touchdown and win the game and not settle. To go in the overtime. No, I didn't know what it was. I just thought it was a sack dance. So I'm always okay if guys celebrating. That means they're making plays, and whether it's on offense or defense, they want to celebrate. That means we're doing good things. That's all right by me.
Yeah, well, celebrating after victories, that's the bottom line. And again, 27-23, Giants was your final. Giants are in first place, alone at the top of the NFC East with a record of 5-2. You are watching Giants Post Game Live, presented by Timex, right here on My9. We're live outside of MetLife Stadium at MetLife Central at the stage here. You see the fans outside. They're still hanging around with us, enjoying the crowd, and why not? It was a big Giants victory. And they're liking the fact that their Giants are alone in first place. We'll be right back.
Well, Andre, a lot of tough yards running that ball today. Yeah. Redskins D, very, very stout, but you and Ahmad each had a touchdown run. Yes. Had to feel pretty good to get in the end zone.
Yes, and I mean, when there's eight men in the box, you expect that. So it's going to be very tough when you got that extra safety down in the box. So, we just had to go in there and keep plugging away and plugging it away. Eventually, things pop. So, It is what it is. We got a touchdown.
I was telling Jeff Fiegels earlier, I love the jumbo package with David Deal. He and Inoski both threw blocks on your touchdown and on Ahmad's touchdown. Yeah. Could you talk about the effectiveness of that scheme?
I mean, I think Henry's the best fullback in the league. And, you know, you got Big D, Double D. He's coming in there, and he's just moving people out the way. So, you know, it's very easy to just run behind two big blockers, and then, you know, the whole offensive line is just, they already so cohesive and they're already gelling together. And, you know, once we get down in that situation, we can just go out there and capitalize on every opportunity.
Okay, so then finally the Redskins take the lead late. Eli's got three timeouts in his pocket with about a minute and a half to go. Look, you've seen this before. Yeah. I'm not going to go through the review. We've all seen that movie many times. Yes. But let me ask you this. Did you guys know they'd be vulnerable at that point over the top for the home run ball?
Yes, you know, you got to believe, you know. I believe in Eli, man. You know, I looked at it. It was like, what, 1 minute and 39 seconds left?
Yeah.
And three timeouts. That's an eternity for Eli. That's too much time for them. And, you know, and he just went out there and, you know, he capitalized. And, you know, Victor just, they played, what, cover two man? You can't do that against Victor Cruz and Akeem Nick. So, you know, and then I think, and that was it. The rest is storybook.
Andre Brown, congratulations. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, let's go back to you guys.
All right, Paul Dottino with Andre Brown. You know, we were talking about Victor Cruz before. Andre Brown's another story of a guy, not that he came out of no place, but a guy who was passed around after he came out of school and what was cut like six, seven, eight times, whatever it was,
eight.
And he's making contributions, big contributions.
It was good to see him get in the end zone today and go back to, if you look at the rushing game, the Giants didn't have the game on the ground that you would have liked to see. I mean, they only ran the ball 19 times compared to Washington's 38 times. I was actually happy even going back to Ahmad Bradshaw, they only carried the ball 12 times. I mean, he's had 57 carries for 300 yards over the last 2 weeks, you know, with that foot injury that he's still nursing. So it's good to see that they ran winning football, not so much, you know, 4.5 yards, 5 yards a carry. You didn't see the production you saw, but it was winning football. When they had to run the ball in spurts, they got it done.
Well, I like to see Andre Brown come back for the fact that, you know, this is just another option in the backfield. He does a great job running the ball downhill. He makes the offensive line better blockers by running downhill. It creates, you know, movement. He knows how to, you know, put his foot in the ground and just go no dipping, no dodging, no cutbacks. I'm coming forward. Stay with me. Just get to a little side. I'm coming off your hip.
Yeah, no, he pretty much gave Ahmad Bradshaw a roadmap on how to run the ball when he was out for a couple of weeks. Just hit it up there. Don't skit and scat side by side, straight down the hill. And that's what I really liked about it. I think he did a great job in terms of in relief. And just like Roman said, you need to have another back. The day of the bell cow back is over. There's no – never going to have a back catch run the ball 30 times a game.
Well, but it's a good thing, though, Russ, also, when you get passed around a lot, all of a sudden you get that opportunity. It's a sweet moment, and you want to make – you know, capitalize
right
on it.
No, and he's doing a fine job, and you can tell he's comfortable in his role. All right, what do you say we go down to another guy who's extremely comfortable in his role? Let's hear what Victor Cruz had to say at the podium short while ago.
Was it like deja vu? I guess so, a little bit. I mean, you know, reference to, you know, having the same type of cover, same type of throw, same type of catch and run. I guess it's a little bit like deja vu, yeah. Why not?
Did it feel like you and Eli were on the same page? You had the slant early in the first half, a little behind you. Did it feel like you guys were reading each other as you typically do today? And if so, what happened to get you guys on the same page in that last play?
I felt like we were reading each other well. I felt like, you know, prior to that slant pattern that he missed me on, we were completing the football. We were doing some good things. Myself with a couple other receivers as well. Martellus had some crucial catches as well. So I think we were on the same page. It's just certain times he was a little shorter, a little far on a pass or two. But, you know, we clicked at the right time, and we read the coverage the same way, and it was a good feeling.
When do you know that you got that on that last play? I mean, you get to the line of scrimmage and see that this is going to work, or do you not know what's that ball's like?
I don't know until I'm about mid-route. I think it was a matter of seeing it before the snap and having an idea of what it is. And then as soon as the ball is snapped and I'm about five or six steps into the route, it really declares itself. And then that's when I make my read.
All right, that was a pleased and, you know, not too cocky, just a pleased and successful wide receiver by the name of Victor Cruz, the pride of Paterson, New Jersey. All right, time for our Sports Authority question of the week. Who, folks, is the all-time leading scorer in Giants franchise history? A, Frank Gifford. B, Pete Gogolak, or C, Lawrence Tynes? We'll have the answer for you coming up. We are Giants Post Game Live, presented by Timex, here on My Nine. And there are you, the fans, right outside of our location at the stage at MetLife Central. Giants with a 27-23 victory, again alone in first place in the NFC East. Stay with us. We've got a lot more coming back. All right, well, our Sports Authority question of the week before we left you. Who is the leading all-time scorer in franchise history of the Giants? Was it Frank Gifford, Pete Gogolak, or Lawrence Tynes? And your answer is Pete Gogolak. Sports Authority, folks, the official retail sporting goods store of the Giants. Sports Authority, all things sporting good. Speaking of sporting good, let's now check back in with our colleague Paul Dottino, who caught up with Prince Amukamara a short while ago.
Well, Prince, they said RG3 was a dangerous quarterback. I guess you guys found out firsthand how dangerous he can be.
For sure. He's a dual-threat quarterback, can run and can throw the ball, and we're glad that we still came out on top, but we have a lot of film watching to do.
You know, it was before the game I was telling some of the people here in the coaches' club that Ike Hilliard, one of their assistant coaches, said to me, he's faster than 4.4. Now, I wasn't chasing him like you were on the field. How fast is he, and how hard is it to really try to keep up with him?
His game speed is pretty fast. I mean, I didn't have a watch out there. I couldn't time him, but he does look more fast than 4.4.
Anytime it's sucking wind, it's fast.
For sure.
All right, how important was this game? You finally got a win in the NFC East. Coach Coughlin emphasized that the whole week.
It was huge to get our first win in the conference. Definitely a momentum booster, and just hope that we could just ride this one on out.
You know, when you go see the coach for corrections tomorrow, he's going to look at that total yardage number, though, and he's going to say 480-something, I think, whatever it was. He's not going to like that too much.
No, definitely he's not. But I'm glad that we have another week to get better. So, like I said, we have to get back to the film.
Quickly, any thoughts about the Cowboys? They already beat you here opening night.
I'm sure that the result's going to turn out different, but we have to watch the film and see. Sorry, I'm big on film.
I got you. Prince Amukamara, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, let's go back to you guys.
All right, Paul, thank you very much. Paul, along with Prince Amukamara. From one defensive player, let's talk about another. We didn't mention him before. We heard him speak. Chris Canty, your assessment of Chris in his first game back this season?
Well, I know earlier in the week, Paul Dottino said that he would get about 12 to 15 snaps, the equivalent of what you get in the first preseason game. But, one thing about Chris Canty, I don't think anyone was missed on that interior defensive line this year more than Chris Canty. I mean, he hasn't hit anyone since February, and he was hitting weights in February. So it was good to see however many snaps he got. That as he gets better, so does the Giants' defensive line, especially stopping that run. And that's something they're going to need next week when he goes back to his original team, Dallas. They're going to need it down the line. So it was really good to see. I mean, four tackles, and you haven't hit anybody in 6 months. It was tremendous. So that showed the leadership. Chris Canty trying to get back. Hickson trying to come back. Coming back last week. So the guys that are trying to get healthy, all that is important as they go down the stretch of the schedule.
I think it's pretty interesting. You know, we keep talking about how many yards the Redskins ran for. You got to think about this. RG3 was the added dimension to the run. It was like the read option, almost like a college game. And that is something that, NFL teams don't practice it. They don't get ready for it. And there's no way to simulate it in practice. RG3 is running at a speed way faster than everybody on the field. And he's able to throw the ball, too. I don't think the rushing defense is going to be as bad. I've criticized him a little bit here as well. But I don't think you're going to be able to. The guy had 89 yards rushing. He could have had a lot more. He just stepped out of bounds. Seriously. He was running. Like you could see guys like, he's like, it was incredible to see him. He's an athlete.
Yeah, and he doesn't play like a rookie.
Yeah, one of the things that I want to tell you guys, talking about all the negative things, was the win, guys. And the one thing that I want to talk about is the red zone efficiency in the defense. The defense actually did a great job in the red zone. All their touchdowns came from the fringe, which is the 20 and out. And so that means that once you get down in the red zone, this team knows how to focus in and shut down their opponents.
All right, well, fans, you're in good luck, because with this Giants victory, you'll be able to buy any 6-inch or foot-long sub and get any 6-inch or foot-long sub of equal or lesser price free. That's right. Go to Giants.com/Subway to print your free sub Coupon, Subway, the official restaurant of Justin Tuck, the New York Giants, and athletes everywhere. You are watching Giants Post Game Live, presented by Timex here on My9. Stay with us. We're coming back.
I choose not to think about how they ran against us in the first half. You know, I think my coaching staff did a good job of, you know, just coming in and making subtle adjustments. We didn't do much, but we kind of figured out, you know, how they were, you know, doing different things than what they had shown on film. As far as, you know, they did a lot of different motioning with the H-back, and that kind of threw off how we wanted to set the front. And, you know, they had an extra man a lot of runs in the first half, and we made that adjustment and it proved well, you know, going forward. No, I don't think so. I think, you know, one thing about Canty is, you know, he's the same every day. We know how he plays. We know how to fit in with him. And I don't think it was that much of a struggle. You know, I think he did a great job of, you know, coming in and playing this difficult of a, you know, offensive scheme with his first, you know, his first game back, you know, coming off a knee injury, and just how fast, you know, those guys go, you know, run that zone read. I think he did a pretty good job.
You know, I was just thinking to myself watching Justin, you know, he got his first sack today, and I think maybe it should count as like 1.5 for 2, because when you get RG Griffin, that should count to more than one sack.
You know what? It is good. It was great to see him. He finally got, you know, tickets to the stadium. He showed up today. Got a hit on the quarterback. He was super active. Made a tackle for a loss. That's what you want out of your guy. For the guy that's wearing a C on his chest, you want him to make plays.
I mean, when a guy like Justin Tuck has a sack, it's like boxing. You know, the boxing as a game is good when the heavyweight champions are doing well. So when Justin Tuck, Eli Manning, Cruz, Ahmad Bradshaw, when those guys are having good games, that really leads everybody else. So he actually set precedence for how that defensive line would play. We always early talked about Chris Canty. So I was really happy to see that stat on the bottom. 4 tackles and a sack for Justin Tuck, besides just Justin Tuck making a comment after the game.
It's been a while since you saw him do the whole sack
we
dance,
missed
right?
that. We miss it, though.
Yeah,
everyone misses it.
It's been a while. But, you know, when you're a leader, you have to make plays. You have to show up, because pretty soon, if you're talking and not doing anything on the field, people are going to start to tune you out. So now makes himself relevant again in that locker room, and I'm just glad to see it happen.
Uh-huh. On the positive side, I think a lot of guys were making plays out of that defensive line. And, you know, it wasn't just the NASCAR package. Everybody was contributing.
Are they even on today?
Yeah.
Did they run out of gas? They need to go get
As they say, best way to lead is by doing it on a field.
Exactly.
Justin Tuck with a big sack today. All right, stay with us. You're watching Giants Post Game Live, presented by Timex here on My9. We'll be back to wrap things up in just a little bit.
You had a hand in 2 turnovers today, a forced fumble and a fumble recovery. When defensive linemen get some of those, that's a really good day.
Yes, sir. Very good day. I'm just glad I had an opportunity to make a couple plays for the team, and I'm glad we won the game.
How much did the return of Chris Canty help you guys along that defensive front? We've all talked about not only his production, but him being a leader.
Just for him coming back and battling that knee surgery and the injury and coming out here and making some plays for the defense, it made everybody step the game up a little bit. So I'm glad he came back, and I'm glad he's ready to go.
Okay, now, they did run for a chunk of yardage today. We've talked about RG3 right. with some of your teammates, but let me ask you about Alfred Morris. Guy had almost 500 yards coming in, and he ran for well over 100 today. He was a real load.
He's a very good back. He's a downhill runner. He's a track runner. So one cut, he's going downhill. He keeps his legs moving. He's going to be a good back in this league.
Could you tell me for just 1 second before we let you go about the deception of RG3 with the ball? I was telling these folks here in the coaches club, it was very hard to even figure out if he had the ball or if he had given it up. That may be his best asset.
He's very good at that. At sometimes, I think he had the ball, the running back had the ball. Then I think the running back had the ball, and then he had the ball. So he keep you off balance, and that's what makes their team and their scheme so good. Because if you just make a mistake and go left and he's going right, he dashes for 10, 15 yards.
Bottom line, it's a W.
It's a W. That's all I'm at right now.
Linval Joseph, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay, guys, let's go back to you.
All right, Paul, thank you very much. Once again, folks, we are live at the stage at MetLife Central, and that was Paul Dottino with Linval Joseph. Talk about the combination. I know it wasn't perfect today, but having the combination of Canty back with Linval in the interior now.
Well, that's what I mentioned that a little bit earlier, but that's what the Giants need. I mean, you needed – you're not always going to be healthy all the time. You're not always going to have all your guys, but you're getting healthy at this part of the season. I think Canty and Joseph on the inside are going to get better, and that's going to be huge for that defensive front. Then we'll start to see O.C. Mignora, JPP on third down, Tuck. You start to see the NASCAR package and all those things start to work on third down when you can stop the run. I doubt very seriously that they're going to give up 248 yards next week against Dallas. They're going to watch that first game against the Cowboys. They're going to watch what happened this week, and they're going to have a chip on their shoulders. And we all know how much better the Giants respond when they go on the road. And that's what everyone's expecting next week, especially Tom Coughlin, the coaching staff.
I don't think it's really them responding when they go on the road. I don't think that has anything to do with it. I think it has more to do with this division that they're in right now. I think that they know that they have to really win these games. They're in the meat of the division. They got to figure out a way to win another game in the division to stay in the lead. If they, one loss actually, even though with their record, kind of pulls them too close to the pack. They don't want to be a part of the pack. They want to be out there. Right now at 5-2, they got a clear-cut lead. You know, Philadelphia's right behind them, one game behind them. A loss to Dallas can pull them back with Philadelphia. They don't want that, so they know they're under pressure. And the Giants perform best when they're under pressure. That's
yeah,
right.
Well, no, that's true. But you know one thing that the inside interior line is going to do is they're with Canty and Linville Joseph back, they're going to push that pocket, and that's going to allow those outside pass rushers to be more effective. So that's another thing that the Giants, and when they get Rocky Bernard back as well, they're going to be a stout group in up front. One thing that has been struggling, that they've been struggling with, is trying to stop the run, and that is because inside their big guys are just getting pushed around. Well, with those guys back, it's going to change that around a little bit.
Let's quickly talk about one thing. They finished their first quarter of the season at 2-2. When they were going into this second quarter, and we looked at teams, forget the Browns, but we looked at the Niners. We looked at this game today, the Skins, and coming up. Two division games, another conference game. I mean, they can go 4-0.
Yeah, well, I mean, I said after that Philadelphia loss that I said you have to go 4-0 in the second quarter. And you can't look at the totality of the schedule. You can't say, oh, this team. You can't say, okay, maybe we lose the 49ers, but win the other three. You take it one game at a time. These other teams on the schedule are going to beat each other up. Somebody's going to lose. But if you take care of your business, that's all you have to worry about. The Giants have put themselves in a great position to be poised to go 4-0 in the second quarter, and that's going to play huge dividends down the line.
I think it's just, they got to think about this. It's game to game right now, and I hate to be a cliche guy, but it's definitely game to game. They got to win the next one coming up. It's the right part of the schedule for this to happen. They can't go outside themselves. They can't look down the road. They got to take care of business as it shows.
Today was a championship effort for me. I mean, this is a team 100%. That did not play their best, and they came away with a victory. The Redskins were a team that were very motivated to win this game. They had every opportunity to in the last part of the game, but the Giants made the play that counts, and that's the signature of this Giant team over the last 2 years.
Yeah, bottom line, 27-23, the final. Giants improved their record to 5-2. The next game, it'll be Giants-Cowboys, another division tussle in Big D. That will be Sunday, October 28th, 4:25 p.m. on sister station Fox 5. And as always, the moment that game ends, you want to flip right back over here to my 9 for Giants Post Game Live, presented by Timex. For Amani Toomer, Roman Oben, Howard Cross, I am Russ Salzberg. Thanks for being with us here at the stage for MetLife Central. You've been watching Giants Post Game Live, presented by Timex, here on my 9. We'll be back with you next week. Cowboys-Giants coming up again. That's the first-place Giants coming up, alone atop the NFC East. See you next week, folks.